Good morning again, everyone. This is the case of Christofferson versus Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. I believe everybody is on the call. So good morning, counsel. We will start by having the court, each member of the court, introduce themselves. And we will recognize counsel, and then we will begin. I'm Mike Havikin, the Chief Justice, and by order of seniority as to time served on the court, other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller Lerman.
William McCastle. Good morning.
Good morning. Stephanie Stacy.
Jeff Funk. Good morning.
Jonathan Papik. And John Friedenberg.
And counsel, Mr. Kuhnert, are you here this morning?
Yes, Your Honor. Ryan Kuhnhart on behalf of Tom Christofferson.
Mr. Kuhnhart, thank you. I apologize for mispronouncing your name, but good morning to you. And Mr. Campbell, are you here this morning?
I am, Your Honor.
Good morning. Good morning. Do either counsel have any questions before we begin?
No, Your Honor.
Nope.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kuhnhart, then you may proceed.
Thank you. And I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
You may.
May it please the court. My name is Ryan Kuhnhart, and I represent Tom Christofferson. Your honors are all state employees. Imagine that out of the blue, you get called in human resources to a meeting, accused of stealing and misappropriating approximately $1 million of state tax funds. You go through the grievance process, and eventually you are terminated, despite the fact that no evidence was presented during the grievance process to support the allegations. You request a hearing before the Nebraska State Personnel Board, as are your rights under the applicable rules and regulations. At that hearing, the state has the burden. The state goes first, and instead of presenting any evidence, the state immediately withdraws the allegations, provides you with full back pay, and presents absolutely zero evidence. The only remaining issue for this court here today is whether Tom Christofferson, which that exact situation that I just walked through happened to, is entitled to front pay. The first issue that we assigned as an assignment of error is whether the Nebraska State Personnel Board has the power to award front pay. And the applicable statute that we're dealing with today is Nebraska Revised Statute 81-1318.01, which states that the board has the authority to ensure the fair and equitable administration of the state personnel system. I think everyone agrees that reinstatement is an equitable remedy. And the only way that the state personnel board would have the ability to issue reinstatement is if it possessed equitable powers. If you look at page 21 of the transcript, the district court, in citing Price versus Marshall Erdman at 966 F2D320, found that, quote, courts only award front pay if the preferred remedy of reinstatement, clearly an equitable remedy, is impractical.
Mr. Kuhnhart,
yes.
You quoted from the introductory phrase of section 81-1318.01, but there are seven subsections that follow that introductory phrase. Is front pay or anything resembling front pay found within any of those subsections?
No, Your Honor. There are not specific remedies listed within 81-1318.01. And what I would direct the court to is pages 15 and 16 of our opening brief, where we cite almost 30 cases where the personnel board has utilized its equitable powers in granting reinstatement. And so this is not a case where you are interpreting a statute which gives you specific remedies that you must work within. All we have here is general framework within the statute that says the board has the authority to ensure the fair and equitable administration of the state personnel system without any specific remedies.
Has the personnel board by regulation adopted regulations that would authorize front pay?
I am not aware of any specific regulation. It's our position that 81-1318.01 and the Personnel Board's history over at least the past 25 years in granting reinstatement has the clear ability to issue front pay, since reinstatement is clearly an equitable remedy and front pay is not a wholly separate remedy from reinstatement. Front pay, the case law makes clear, is an alternative to reinstatement. And so based on the Personnel Board issuing reinstatement, it has the inherent power to issue the alternative to reinstatement, front pay.
It seems to be no dispute that reinstatement is an available remedy. Is that correct?
We believe so, Your Honor.
Okay. And is that an equitable form of a remedy?
Yes.
So the literature to which you direct us is that reinstatement is a form of equitable remedy, but when it's not available, the reciprocal remedy is front pay. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
So is the question, therefore, under the statutes and regulations, would front pay be authorized? And how am I doing? So far, so good?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And our information with respect to the scope of available remedies is in part, as Justice Castle referred to, 81-1318.01. However, I direct your attention to 81-1318.nothing. Okay. And that right. And that statute, which we read together with .01, says that the board shall be authorized to designate and delegate its the powers under 81-1318.01. So my question really goes to what are those powers? Okay, that's what it says. Here comes another statute. And there will be powers. Go forth and do it equitably. So when you look at the language of .01, which says equitable, would you say that equitable is just confined to equitable administration, meaning procedure versus substance, run a tidy hearing, as opposed to a power of equity, as indicated or as suggested in 1318.nothing, that a substantive power available to the board?
Yes, Your Honor, it's our position that it's a substantive power available to the court, and we believe that is clear by the Personnel Board's history, which we cite extensively in our briefs. And there was no delegation of power or authority here or in any of these other cases. The Personnel Board ensures the fair and equitable administration of the system by granting certain state employees certain procedural rights once discipline is lodged against them. One of those is the right to the hearing, and then more importantly, one of those is the right to appropriate remedies, which include equitable remedies, which include reinstatement, and then alternatively front pay.
Is there? Can you direct us to any regulation that expressly authorizes the State Personnel Board to award any particular relief, monetary or otherwise, when adjudicating grievances like this?
No, Your Honor.
If you can't, how could we possibly find error in not applying what you're asking for? If there's not a regulation against which to measure what the Personnel Board has done, how can an appellate court find error in not doing what you ask?
An appellate court can find error because if you look at page 26 of the transcript, the district court specifically analyzed whether 81-1318.01 is better understood as fair and just administration or fair and existing in equity. So the court made the distinction that Your Honor was just talking about. Is it more of an equitable administration or is it more of an equitable remedy issue? And given that the Personnel Board, I mean, to me, Your Honor, if you accept your position, you would have a right but not a remedy. And so if I have rights to a hearing before the State Personnel Board and I exercise that right, what's the appropriate remedy? And the remedies here—
To supply the remedy, are you not? You're asking the court to supply a remedy that's not been supplied in a rule or a regulation.
No, Your Honor. What we're asking the court to do is create law. It's my belief that this is a case of first impression. And so what we're asking the court to do is create law which is consistent with the Personnel Board's 25-year history in finding that reinstatement is the remedy under 881-1318.01. And we're asking the court to find that the clear alternative remedy to reinstatement front pay can be made under the state personnel system.
Mr. Cunard, I may have gotten lost in the argument here, but do the statutes or regulations mention reinstatement anywhere?
No, Your Honor. There is not a statute that mentions any specific remedy or otherwise limits any specific remedy.
However, my question would be under Chapter 14, 002.01, Disciplinary Action, that refers to relevant facts acquired in an investigation, and if reinstated to the former position, it shall be with full back pay and service credit. So reinstated, as mentioned, reinstated is in Chapter 14, 002.01. So the idea that reinstated would be mentioned in regulations, if I have the correct regulations, and I stand vulnerable to my reading of regs, but if that reinstated and back pay are included in the scope of discipline, then what do we learn from that? It does not explicitly say front pay, but it does say reinstated. And we've determined, I believe, that reinstatement is an alternative to front pay.
Correct, Your Honor. And so it's our position that under the statutes, front pay is an alternative to reinstatement if reinstatement is not practical. And so front pay would be appropriate.
Is a determination in a particular case that reinstatement would not be practical a determination of law or a determination of fact?
I believe it would be a determination of law.
Well, referring to that same regulation, there is a reference to reinstated, and it says based on facts acquired in the investigation. What facts were acquired in the investigation? We didn't have a hearing, correct? Because the charges were withdrawn and the whole event thereafter is limited to remedy. So what fact was acquired in the investigation which would favor, or perhaps I'll ask opposing counsel, disfavor reinstatement?
Yes. During the investigation, all we had was the notice of allegation, which was then turned into a notice of discipline. And what we did, and it's in the record, is we presented counter arguments to the notice of allegation and the notice of discipline. There was a hearing per se, it's just that evidence was presented at the hearing.
And it's your view that those yield that reinstatement is not suitable, therefore back for front pay, I beg your pardon. That's your argument.
Correct, Your Honor. It's the allegations themselves that Mr. Christofferson was accused of misappropriating $1 million. The allegations themselves make it impossible to come back to work. And we cite Brooks in support of that proposition that trust in the workplace or one's reputation in a particular industry is damaged beyond repair by one of the parties, front pay is appropriate. And so it's not a mutual two-way street here. The allegations themselves of being accused of misappropriating over approximately $1 million make front pay the appropriate remedy, not reinstatement.
Was the withdrawal of the allegations against the appellant pursuant to any type of settlement agreement?
No, Your Honor. It was voluntary. We were prepared to present witnesses and evidence, and they withdrew them.
Thank you.
If there's no further questions, it looks like my time's up, and I would thank the court.
Thank you, Mr. Cunard. Mr. Campbell, good morning to you.
Mr. Campbell, I believe you're muted.
Thank you, Justice Frydenberg. May it please the court. Mr. Christofferson took a big risk in his approach to this case. He requested front pay, but did not seek reinstatement, even though the personnel board has never before awarded front pay, and even though reinstatement is the preferred equitable remedy in discharge cases. Granting him full front pay here would give him multiple years of income at taxpayers' expense while he tries to make even more money through his new business. The court should reject that front pay request for two reasons. First, the board lacks the power to order it. And second, Mr. Christofferson has not shown that he's entitled to it. Beginning first with the board's authority, an administrative agency like the board has limited power, and its power is to be strictly construed. So this means that Mr. Christofferson must show unmistakably that the board has authority to award front pay. Now, everyone, as best I can tell in this case, agrees that there's no explicit statutory authorization for front pay. So Mr. Christofferson argues that front pay power is implied, claiming that because the board has the power to reinstate, it must also have the power to award front pay.
Mr. Campbell, where do we look?
Does it seem to be agreed that reinstatement is an available remedy?
Your Honor, I think that's correct. Reinstatement is an available remedy.
And are we in agreement that that's characterized as an equitable form of a relief?
We agree with that as well, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Mr. Campbell, where, if I wanted to go look at and read the available remedies, where do I go?
Statutorily, there aren't any. There is no statute that lays them out. I think we do agree with Mr. Christofferson's counsel that the statute that we've been talking about, 81-1318.01, is the most relevant statutory authority. However, it does not address the available remedies.
Then get me to the rules and regulations that set out or authorize the State Personnel Board to award any particular relief in these grievance hearings.
So as best we can tell, there's nothing directly on point. I think what Justice Miller-Lerman brought up, Chapter 14.002.01 is the closest analog. And as she referenced, we don't have explicit authority to give front pay award in there. And so I think what's important is for the court to consider what's different about reinstatement versus front pay. And there are three distinctions I would like to highlight. The first is that reinstatement and front pay are not treated equally under the law. Reinstatement is the preferred equitable remedy, whereas front pay is disfavored. So for Mr. Christofferson,
Mr. Campbell, if reinstatement is the preferred equitable remedy, doesn't that imply that there's some alternative remedy? And if there is, what's the alternative remedy?
In this circumstance, the first question is whether the board has the authority to give the alternative remedy. And so I would point the court to the Williams case, which is a Colorado Court of Appeals case we cite in our brief. And there, the court was dealing with a statute that specifically allowed reinstatement, but didn't allow front pay. And the court said that that statute obviously drew a distinction between the two. And so it allowed reinstatement, but didn't allow the alternative of a front pay. And I think that's what the court should do here.
So in Nebraska, there is no alternative. You can either reinstate or not reinstate. That's the alternative.
That's right. In terms of equitable remedy, there is back pay available and there are other remedies as well. But I think that distinction between reinstatement and front pay is consistent with the statutory language, because the relevant language says that the board is charged with ensuring the fair and equitable administration of the State Personnel Board. But
in the Williams case, is this correct? There was a list of remedies. We weren't sniffing around for the remedies. So there, that was a list of remedies that did that not make that analysis a little more obvious?
I think that is certainly a distinction between the two cases, but I think what William stands for that's relevant here is that you can offer reinstatement without offering front pay. They don't have to go hand in hand, even though they are at times alternatives for one another. And if we just take a step back and look at it, there's no way the personnel board could do its job if it didn't have the authority to reinstate employees to their prior positions. In contrast, the personnel board creates significant equitable issues from time to time by implementing front pay. And so what we've argued in our brief is that nearly every time front pay is awarded, the state at the taxpayer's expense is paying two people to do one job. That, I would argue, is not an equitable way to administer the state personnel system.
And so
I think that argument is countered by the purposes of reinstatement, which is to place the employee, perhaps if wrong, but here there's an admission that something went off the rails, is to place the employee in the same position he or she would have had there been no discharge. So that, and therefore, it substitutes for reinstatement in the remedy in the future economic loss following from this quote wrongful act. So that's what he's asking for. And I understand it costs money, but the focus here is on a substitute right for reinstatement, not the cost of it.
I think when the court is construing the relevant statute that we've been talking about, it needs to ask, what is a fair and equitable way to do this? And for the reasons we've explained, front pay creates additional inequities that this court should wait until the legislature is explicit about authorizing that award. And because we don't have that, the default, again, if we return to first principles, administrative agencies have limited powers, and those powers are to be strictly construed. And so if this
the legislature hasn't been explicit about reinstatement either, has it?
It has not, but if we're going to imply any equitable power, it seems logical and necessary to imply the power of reinstatement. In contrast, front pay is a disfavored remedy that again creates inequities, as we've explained in our brief. And so for that reason, if the court wants to recognize that the reinstatement power has been inferred, I think it's very reasonable to say that there's a distinction between front pay. And I've mentioned that there's a distinction, we think, based in the statutory text, when you consider that charge to fairly and equitably implement the system. But there's also a difference in the personnel board's practices, their historical practices, that they've always awarded reinstatement, but they've never awarded front pay. That should tell us something about their power, that it's not something that the court should lightly discard, this history.
Well, but we don't.
Mr. Campbell, assume for the moment, and I know you don't agree with this, but assume for the moment that we disagree that front pay is not available. In other words, we would hold that front pay is available. Does that necessarily mean that the appellant in this case automatically prevails, or does it need to go back for some further proceedings?
I think we would still prevail under the second portion of the district court's opinion. So the district court's first part of analysis found that there was no authority to order front pay, and the second portion of the opinion found that Mr. Christofferson hadn't shown that he's entitled to front pay. I think we would still prevail under that portion of the analysis because the standard is very high to show that front pay is justified. It's only available in extraordinary circumstances, when the employer has shown extreme animosity toward the employee and a productive work relationship is impossible. This high standard is recognized by Mr. Christofferson in his brief, and he hasn't satisfied that burden. He hasn't shown...
I beg your pardon. He has acknowledged a high standard, and that seems to be popular in the literature. And he points to... An opposing counsel has mentioned that it was alleged in a public manner that he misappropriated about $1 million or $800,000 under one allegation and more money under other allegations, and he came to defend it and or clear his name, and it came for the hearing and there was no such because the allegations were withdrawn. So he claims he's been wrong. This is, I believe, a roughly fair characterization. So he gets to the hearing and he says, well, this place is hostile. I can't go back. And furthermore, I'm on the cusp of retirement. So the appropriate remedy would not be reinstatement. He didn't ask for reinstatement, as apparently. Right. So what is the relevance of the fact that he might be on the cusp of retirement, right? He would be, is that correct, eligible for retirement in next year, 2022? Is that right? So is that relevant? Yeah. So that is one of the factors that courts consider on the appropriateness of reinstatement, I believe.
Your Honor, I think that's correct. It is a factor to be considered, but it is not one that in isolation, standing alone by itself, justifies front pay. Instead, it's an additional factor that when other extraordinary circumstances are shown, that it can bolster the entitlement to front pay, but standing alone, it does not get Mr. Christofferson where he wants to go. And I would specifically point the court to the Newhouse case that we cite in our brief on that point.
Is a determination that reinstatement could not be feasible a determination of fact or a determination of law?
Your Honor, to be honest, I don't know the answer to that question. My sense is that it's a determination of law, but I don't have case law to support that one.
Well, if it's an equitable remedy, is it inclined to be a question of law?
If it's an equitable remedy, I think it is. It is something that is probably more likely than not to be an equitable or a question for the court to decide as a matter of law. And that would be consistent with, I believe it's called the Billingsley case, that is cited in some of the briefing and is also cited in the lower court's decision. And Billingsley drew the distinction between legal relief and equitable relief, finding that the equitable relief was something that should go to the court to decide.
Right. And that was done in an age discrimination case, as I recall, and it was with reference to age discrimination in the federal law. I mean, it might be instructive, but it's not, as you say, it's not necessarily a state statute or regulation.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Yeah. Thank you.
I see that my time is up unless anyone has any further questions. I thank the court for their time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Campbell. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments then in Christofferson versus Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. Again, thank you both. You are excused.
Thank you.